Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden on this wonderful Wednesday.
Friday. It's right? Party Friday. Party Friday.
Oh, my God. That's time flies.
So I'll just take over.
No, you don't take over. We're sick of you taking over. We've got the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True, straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness and Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Sandra's like, Chuck, how could you forget?
That's been a tough
one. We're going to start off with a bang.
I've got to brag on Julie. Julie appeared with Mark Hammond from Parker Conservatives. They have a great grassroots group out there, maybe the best in Colorado. And Mandy Connell said, well, you want to come on?
Connell's KOA show.
KOA show. And Mandy says, we hate your program. We hate Rhino Watch and everything else. And boy, did Mark and our beautiful Julie do more than hold their own. She wanted to get her off that air as fast as she could after, I don't know, 18 minutes. Goodbye, get out of here. No, we don't want to hear anything. Let's go to something fun.
Speaking of something fun, we will go to, because I relate, George Brockler, who is a candidate, GOP candidate for the 23rd Judicial District. So I was saying to you before, it's like, so I just came out of the lion's den, and I always want to give George credit. He knows we disagree with him on some of this stuff, but he comes on the show. So first, George, happy Party Friday, and thank you for your time.
And for me, you know, I've endorsed George, and not that we're on the same side of the Republican Party. We couldn't be farther apart. But I think he's a great DA when he was part of the 18th Judicial District. Yeah. He's a great guy. We don't agree about much these days, but he's a great guy.
Listen, a couple things. One, I want to split the difference and say happy Thursday.
That's okay.
Some sort of
not
thing.
Bad. Not bad.
And then the other thing is, Chuck and I talked for a while the other day, and at one point, just the typical Chuck voice, he goes, my God, you are a liberal. I just burst out laughing.
Well, and here's the thing. So you reached out to us over a tweet, right? And I got it. And then you did. And you're like, and then you called Chuck to complain about his tweet. And I'm like, Chuck doesn't even know
here's the key that no one gets. Everybody thinks Chuck is the mean one and she's the nice one. No. I'm the nice one and she's the mean one.
Vicious.
Well, it's true that then Chuck says on the phone call, he goes, well, that's actually Julie's tweet. And she thinks you're a misogynist for thinking that it was not her. And I said, whoa, it has nothing to do with misogyny. It has everything to do with, I thought the tweet was so unhinged, it had to be yours. It couldn't be Julie's. Julie's the rational thinker.
See, you've got that all wrong.
Well, so what we're referring to is, it was, as happens in Twitter, a kerfuffle on Twitter regarding red flag law. And I was responding to a response to a response to a response to a tweet.
Gosh, yeah.
So I could be guilty of being unhinged. That was talking that you said you were the only candidate to testify against the red flag law. And then I tweeted, of course, never mind the fact that you like initially were one of the key supporters of the red flag law. So we'll be fair. I won't do a Mandy Connell on it. We'll just go ahead. And what did you want to talk about? What did you want to say about that? Why was that so unhinged?
I didn't think that was necessarily unhinged, but the way it got phrased and the way that my opponent and my opponent's supporters have couched it is in terms of George was the author of the red flag law, which first off, if anyone's ever read any of my tweets or texts, you know, I'm not authoring anything. And then the other part was, he's authored it and I can't, the other part, RMGO has the goods and they've posted these things. And if you read them, they're not anything related to me being the author of anything. I've said exactly what my role was back in 2018 when I was approached about this thing. And there's listen, I don't run from the fact that I was trying to come up with a better version of a crappy bill on an idea that I thought warranted some analysis and discussion. And I've said that, and nothing that has been produced since has said, no, that's not true. You did this and you did that. It's all the same thing, but it's this notion that, oh, we've got the goods. There are no goods. There's no drafted legislation. There's not me saying, hey, let's go grab up. There's nothing like that.
It was you communicating with Carl Wist about.
Yeah, of course.
Well, why didn't you send him a letter back and said, this is the stupidest idea I ever heard of, Carl. You're a Republican.
Why are you going against the Second Amendment and destroying our Second Amendment right, Carl? You shouldn't be a Republican, which he wasn't 6 months later.
Haven't you talked this over with your leadership? But
let's back up, because the conversation wasn't just, hey, how can we find another way in to get people's guns? I mean, look, I've been in uniform for more than 30 years, taking an oath to uphold and defend our Constitution. I take this stuff seriously. I think I'm the only candidate, by the way, who's a concealed carry permit holder. I own guns. I carry guns. These things matter to me. So it wasn't like, hey, let's just go grab up guns.
She's a concealed carry holder.
I wish you'd have told me that before I got really in her face, because I would have been far less angry. I'm kidding. But at the time it was, is there anything that can be done on this issue of this dangerous nexus between this dangerous mental health and the guns thing? And I said, let's see if there's some way to do this thing, but in a way that's still protective of due process, because that matters to me in the Second Amendment. So all of this was an exploration of that. It wasn't just, I'm in for anything and everything we can think of. I hate guns, blah, blah, blah. That's all fake. That's all made up.
I don't think you hate guns, right. But you do know Democrats, Hope, that they don't care about mental health. They care about figuring some way to take your guns away. So if they can do it on the excuse of mental health, and they can sucker people in, well, I'm against mental health or whatever it
people
is.
People with and guns and mental health.
Mental health. That you're being drawn, sucked in to the swamp of these awful people, and you're sitting there while poor Pat Neville was sitting in his office having just talked to Trump and saying, you don't do this red flag stuff. It's the worst stuff. And somebody said, George Brockler's downstairs with Cole.
I think Trump did it because of me. Obviously, I carry a ton of weight. I was a key player. I think Trump saw me and said, I ought to do this. Listen, there's only a few options here when you're in a leadership position. One is you just simply say, nope, I don't want to have any conversation about it. I'm going to hold my breath till it goes away. The other is to get on board and say, anything you want to do, I'm behind. Let's just ride the wave of the day. The middle option is the one that I tried to choose, which is there a way to accomplish a goal which I think is completely legitimate, but at the same time, protect due process and the Second Amendment? That's the journey I was on. The answer was,
but why are Republicans always on the journey of doing the Democrats' bidding? Why don't you come up with something and get them to go
along?
That's
what I was trying to do. I was trying to come up with something.
All the worst people, every mouth-chewing Democrat was sitting there along with the awful Tony Spurlock. Oh, my God.
Let me ask you this, George. If somebody were to, let's talk about today, right? If somebody were to say to you today, hey, I'm Carl Wist and I'm going to have a news conference and I want your input on this, and will you come stand with me on the steps of the Capitol? Would you do it?
With all the Democrats on a piece of legislation the Democrats want.
Would you do that? Where are you? I guess the bottom of my question.
Have you grown?
Yeah.
Have you grown?
Have you evolved?
Well, that's the bigger question. Because remember, this press conference was a bunch of Republican law enforcement leaders too, including the sheriffs of Arapahoe and Doug's, a bunch of other places. This wasn't just George and Cole and a bunch of the bomb throwers. That's not how it was. But if the question is, would you still try to take steps to figure out a way to address that mental health component that finds itself into so much of violent crime? I would, all day, every day. If you say, would you go down the road of trying to see if there's any way, not just the legislature from 2018, but oh my God, this legislature could get close? I tell you, no chance. I tell you, there are conversations that I've had with people about other aspects of the criminal justice system where they say, we'd love to fix this, but I'm afraid to bring it up to this legislature because you open that Pandora's box and who knows where these freak shows go.
Yeah.
So the answer to that
like the red flag law.
No, I wouldn't.
Year. Like the red flag law the next year.
You know,
the next year was a disaster.
Well, where did it come from? Where did the idea come from?
Well, Indiana had it for about 12 or 14 years before we had it. So that's it. It wasn't it wasn't like I sat down and said, what could we come up with? Purple flag? No, that sounds lame. Pink flag? No. Red. Let's do red. Nothing like that.
And then we can.
Hey, why are you in a coat and tie? Are you in court or something? This is beautiful.
I just got back from a funeral. There was a sergeant at the sheriff's office who'd passed away, and his dad's high up in the office. And it was just one of those things. And it ended at a time where I thought, oh, I'm going to be home way earlier than this. But it's like, and I know you guys have been to your share of these things. And then you end up running into people and you start having conversations and those conversations become other conversations. And pretty soon you're like, God, I've been standing here for 3 hours just talking to people about, life and stuff. And then you come home and start sending texts to your kids because this guy was found by his dad, in his house. And you start sending texts to your kids saying things like, are you coming home from this weekend? Or is there any chance I could come see you? And
I'm sorry, George.
I should have taken the tie. Oh, no. This is life. I should have taken the tie off. But I'm like, hey, I can look professional. Otherwise, it'd be like T-shirt and sweats.
You look like a Democrat candidate.
And we'll move on to other stuff. You look like a liberal. Now, if everyone's a liberal, you have a bow tie on. If you ever show up with a bow tie, we may have to
see. It'd be a rainbow. No
rainbow bow ties. So one
this head? No.
One thing I always wondered about was, I remember there was a story I covered at Stanley Lake High School, where in Jefferson County, where a kid was saying he was going to go to the school, he was going to shoot everybody on Halloween, and then he was going to shoot the president, right? And then he took the guns from his parents' house and went to his uncle's house, and he's saying this. So they did the right thing, and they called the therapist, right? And the therapist talked to them, and they put him in a mental health hold. But he ended up getting criminally charged because he did indeed make the threat. I've long thought if they could have – so that's a real – if you're the family, right? This kid now is in the criminal justice system.
And that's not a system you want to be in.
One, I've long thought
the state
that,
one. It's awful.
Mental health issue, because you're right, it's huge. But if there could be a way for people to report it and to somehow, when the threats are being made with.
Jill, you don't get it. It's not a mental health question. They want to disarm all of America.
I understand that. And that's why I'm saying, though, that if this doesn't have anything to do with disarming people, this has a way of doing it without. I don't. Is that possible? Are you the lawyer?
How old was that kid, Julie? Because that the juvenile system is set up, with the exception of very few things, and less every year with this legislature, is set up to not leave permanent marks on juveniles' criminal histories.
This kid was 18. He was 18.
Oh, 18's tough because then you're in the adult range. Yeah, the decision to charge Stanley Lake, I think, is Jefferson County. That's a tough one because I'm not a believer that in most circumstances threats without action should be treated criminally.
Well, he took the gun. He stole the gun.
But that becomes the action.
Right.
So, we had two 16-year-old broken vessel girls down here in Mount Vista. And they were talking about it, but they took extra steps. They actually started to plan it out. They went to try to get a gun. And our effort wasn't to just, hey, let's just charge them as adults, lock them up and throw away the key. There was legitimate mental health issues there. And so our approach had been, how can we get accountability at the same time, provide this incentive to get the mental health resources that the system had, and then hang an anvil over their head that said, we'll trust you until you don't let us trust you anymore. And then we're going to crush you. And then you're going to, and both of them went a different direction. One of them did really well, ended up being released after a whole bunch of treatment, and then took their own life shortly thereafter, which was a horrible outcome.
Oh, great. That's a good result.
Yeah.
No, it's not a good result, but my point is that this mental health stuff is so insidious and invidious that it's very difficult. You don't just cure it, right? Like you're constantly trying to balance, should we have just thrown her in prison and locked her up? I don't think so. I think we try to provide her with these things.
Right.
But in your question, Julie, I want to come back to something Chuck just asked. Have I grown into this thing? I'll tell you one thing I think I've changed my position on. And that is the idea that if we wanted to focus on the mental health component, I've talked to a bunch of people, including guys like Pat Neville, who's a friend. And what they've said is, I would rather have me get grabbed up and taken somewhere where someone could talk to me about, hey, we think you're saying these dangerous things, all this other stuff, because I know I'd be able to get me out sooner than I ever be able to get my guns back. It was words to that effect, this idea that it shouldn't be about the guns, so let's never talk about just taking away the guns. And I'm sold on the idea that what ails our system when it comes to mental health is we make it – hard to have it just be about mental health. We don't have good tools to just make it about mental health. And so what we have to do is figure out a way to say, how can the state provide these services and to provide this protection, but at the same time, not make it so easy. And this is the example I used with Chuck on the phone, that they just don't say, you know, Chuck said some crazy things on the podcast today. Let's go get him and lock him up, which would be a weekly thing. And that's not fair.
No, if it benefits society, though, so overall.
You keep your guns, okay. Chuck, but you,
well,
you
that's all that matters. I get to keep my guns.
Well, and so, and you're many of them, going back to the original, because was that, that again, as it happens in this day and age, anybody tweets anything and people can pick it up and that's turn right. it around and it becomes campaign fodder. And
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's, yeah,
that's why campaigning's so much fun.
Oh my goodness gracious! It's
so. Have you? Were you sent a questionnaire? Did the party send you these your questionnaires?
No, they didn't. I heard all about this on the radio and stuff. I heard Richard Holtorf talk about it. Yeah. I heard some other people.
Good old buckwheat. I love buckwheat.
Well, maybe you should have got it. You're a state candidate, right?
No, is it district?
Well,
district attorney is state, but. No, I never got a questionnaire.
Maybe it's not. Oh, well, don't.
Well, tell them to send anyone.
I don't think you would have a problem filling it out. The main people, it's kind of funny. Gabe Evans, who's funded by Americans for Prosperity, doesn't want to answer question number three, where it says, will you denounce Americans for Prosperity for spending $70 million to try to defeat Trump? It's like.
Okay, well, let's ask the own questionnaire. Would you denounce Americans for Prosperity?
For spending $70 million.
I don't want Americans for Prosperity weighing in on these presidential races or these candidate races in this way. I don't want them playing in this. I do like some of the things they do, not the stuff Chuck's going to blame me for. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I said, oh, I've got some buddies who used to do stuff with AFP, Chuck instantly threw me into these. So you're in the open borders camp. And I'm like, sweet mother of God, no, I had some friends that used to work for them.
Yeah. They used to be part of the Communist Party, but they've pronounced most of their views during the last couple of weeks.
Well, and here's one other thing, a piece of advice I could give you. If you have ever shot your dog, don't put that in a book. It's mine.
Or if you do, talk about it in a traumatizing self-defense kind of way. Like, yeah, this right. was the hardest decision I ever made.
And no, I shouldn't say this. I'll have to give my own
confession.
Here we go. Which will get me, you know, thrown. But so when I was 18,
is this going to be the red flag comment? Is this what's going to get you?
So
maybe I need to have a technical issue.
So we had a dog for 18 years. The greatest dog. Panda. He was kind of a classy type dog and so forth. And he had gotten so old and had cancer and was urinating on him, as dogs do when they get very old.
Yeah.
And my parents wanted to take him to be killed by the vet. And I go, God, that's cruel. I can't stand my dog. And I considered it my dog. It's in the family, but my dog. Somebody else killing my dog. I just couldn't stand that. So I took Panda and gently
euthanized her.
Yeah.
And my parents kind of go, well,
that's weird.
Where is she buried? I said, I buried, you know, Panda out in the back. Don't worry about that. He said, well, what'd you use? I said, well, you know, my German handgun. And they went, what German handgun? Oh! Did I forget to tell you about that? Oh, yeah. So my parents had made me a deal, like the parents do. They said, look, if you work the summer and stuff, you get to spend that money on whatever you'd like to spend it on. You know, you don't have to put it towards something we would do. You could take it for whatever you want. So I did. You know, I made a useful thing. I bought porn and a gun, you know, as kids 18 do.
Yeah.
You are totally proving.
Wait a minute. In which order?
Yeah.
In which order?
The gun was more important.
You're proving George's point that they need red flag laws.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. No, you shouldn't.
This will be in the description for the podcast. This will be the one where you guys need to type in Chuck goes.
Well, so who'd you have kill your dog?
Governor Noam.
Who'd you have kill your dog? Who'd you have kill your dog?
Well, no. So we didn't have dogs growing up. If only because we were never at home. Both my parents worked and we were always either at school or friends were watching us. And my folks were like, they all had dogs growing up. And they're like, that's not fair to a dog just to leave them either in the house or in the backyard all day. We're not going to do that. So since then, we've got dogs. But there was we've had a couple cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I have had to be present for both cats being put down once they've gotten to that point that Chuck described. And even cats, man, and I'm a much more of a dog person. I don't know, man. It just, as you know, it just gets so freaking emotional because
you feel like you're going to a state execution.
Right. Yeah. It's hard. Oh, you guys, this is Party Friday.
Party Friday. Yeah.
Oh, let's call it Thursday so that the downer doesn't have to. Let's call it Thursday. Yeah. We've talked about funerals and putting animals down. What's the third thing? And that trifecta of gloom. What's that third thing?
We already did it. Mental health, you know.
That is crazy.
Before we let you go, so how is the and just so you know, if Dagny calls, we'll have her on too. How are things going? If people want to help you, if people want to find out more, if they live in the 23rd Judicial District, if they want to find out where the 23rd Judicial District is.
Yeah. 23rd's Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln. First new DA's office Colorado was created in over 60 years. The website is georgebrockler.com, just how it's spelled, just how it sounds.
All right.
I'm kidding. It's B R A U C H L E R. Campaign's going great. But you know, it's one of those things. And I was talking to Chuck about this, and Julie, you've seen this for years too. A race of this size, as important as the candidates think it is, as important as attorneys know it is so small compared to the fourth and the eighth and the third and the fifth and all this other stuff that there's no polling. There's no, I mean, what are the metrics that you use other than donors, fundraising, endorsements, the feedback you get from the public, how you do when you're standing next to each other on stage. And by all of those metrics, I feel good about it. I just, who knows anymore? In this election cycle, I don't know.
It's going to be tricky.
Well, I got to say once again, I think George will make a great DA for the new district. He's just a great guy, and I consider him a friend.
All right. Well, it's nice. So thank you.
I'm the nice one.
Julie, I'm waiting for an echo.
Oh, yes. I will say, no, okay, well, I didn't want to steal Chuck's thunder. No, I like Dagny, but I will say this. I covered you as a district attorney for years. I think particularly, and I know so many of our listeners are probably going to disagree, it does sound to me like you have evolved over the whole red flag issue. And that was one issue that I disagree with you with, but there are many others I agree with you with. And I think in a new DA office, it is probably helpful to have somebody who's been there. I know Dagny has a ton of great experience too.
That's Dagny.
Yeah, no, that's Dagny. Just saying. But anyway, so I echo that too. So
let me leave it at this. They've expanded the red flag law to include DAs now, and Phil Weiser have the ability to seek a red flag. I've said this all over the campaign trail and all over the jurisdiction. There's simply no reason for a DA to be empowered with that. I would never exercise that authority if I thought there was anything dangerous or in trouble. You don't want this guy figuring out how to solve it like that. You want me calling the sheriff or the chief of police or someone and saying, this is what I think's going on. Good luck and be safe. But there's no reason for the DA to ever have that.
We need
authority.
Phil Weiser to be able to.
Just so you know, thank you, George, for coming on and taking Chuck and Julie's abuse. So
all the time. Anytime.
All right. Thank you, George.
Take care,
appreciate
George.
Your time. See appreciate you. Your time. And then, so he did a good job there. Hopefully, Brandy Bradley, we want to talk to Brandy Bradley. She is on the House floor. And so she said she may or may not be able to join us. It just depends on what dastardly things the Democrats are doing. But in the couple of minutes that we have, I wanted to talk about, speaking of Nikki or Kristi Noem. So she was supposed to speak last night at the Jefferson County Liberty Dinner. They had to cancel it, though, because they had so many death threats. First, they had all kinds of media people showing up to listen to what she had to say and to question her, right? And then they had protesters out. I'm not sure if these were PETA protesters or just general Kristi Noem protesters. I'm not sure what the protesters were, but they had to cancel it.
Anti-Israel protesters.
The anti-Israel protesters. They're moving to the area. They're going to Denver West Marriott because the facilities are better, and they're gonna protest. So I just thought that was interesting. I kind of feel for the organizers of that event, because you invite Kristi Noem when everybody likes her, then she writes this book and now everybody hates her, or almost everybody. And but you can't really cancel.
Everybody doesn't hate her. Why do you?
What I mean is as though she became this very controversial.
Well, here's what I think. I think it's chicken shit. I mean, if that, you know, from publishing the Charlie Hebdo things to being on 710 and having media matters come after you and so forth. So I've gotten lots and lots of death threats. And the key is always, if they're threatening you, they're not going to kill you. It's the guy who doesn't threaten you.
If you're Jeffco, I
can... Oh, hang in there and have some bravery.
They were saying...
Oh, it was so wimpy. It was so like, for the safety of everyone... You know, that's what they always say about campuses.
Well,
we can't have a conservative on. It would disrupt everything.
That's right.
And so, Christy Noem can't come because some left-wing whackball made a threat. We can't take it. We can't. We're triggered.
Well, and that's,
we're so snowflakey.
Speaking of the snowflakey, that's what we want to talk to Brandy about. And we'll just talk about it anyway if she can't come on. But it's just hilarious. The Democrats are like whining. Excuse me, that she's cyber bullying them. So let's tackle this fake questionnaire, the fake outrage over the questionnaire. So what happened is at the Colorado Republican Party Assembly, overwhelmingly, the assembly, hundreds and hundreds of people voted that they thought it was okay for the party to endorse candidates who came through the caucus and assembly process, not candidates who petitioned and so-called bought their way onto the ballot. So the Republicans approved this, right? So Dave Williams and the Colorado Party leadership have been endorsing candidates who went through the process, like Lauren Boebert, right? And they put out a questionnaire, which I think is when you read the questions, they're great questions. It's like, who did you vote for in 2016 and 2020?
Yeah, like Stephen Rella was going, I can't tell you who I voted for.
He voted for Biden in 2020, right? These are questions. It's like, these are questions that get asked of these candidates when they show up at events. These are questions that get asked them in debates. So what's
wrong?
Well,
Stephen Rella said he didn't remember. Oh, I bet. Sure. You didn't remember.
So between Trump and Biden, and you don't know who you voted for. That says a lot right there. But it is interesting. The outrage is coming from the rhinos. Like I said, Gabe Evans, our rhino candidate in CDA, we support Janik Joshi. Joshi says he won't fill it out. Well, that's because question number 3 is, do you renounce or denounce the Americans for Prosperity for spending $70 million plus to try to defeat Donald Trump, the GOP presidential nominee?
Is supporting candidates who will oppose Donald Trump if they're elected.
Right. And, you know, circle yes or no. Well, Gabe Evans can't sign it because he's taking money from Americans for Prosperity. So, so this from Sandra. Wait, what? Stephen Varela voted for Biden in 2020. How do you know?
Because he said so.
Well, he said so. According to the Pueblo Chieftain, Varela was a registered Democrat in 2020, and he's run for various races since then. And in one of them, the Pueblo Chieftain said, well, who did you vote for? And he said, well, I don't really remember, but I was a Democrat in 2020, so I probably voted for the Democrats. That's a weaselly. I mean, to me, it's like, if you don't know that you voted for Donald Trump, there's something seriously wrong with you if you're trying to call yourself a Republican. But at any rate, so they didn't want to fill out the questionnaire. The questionnaire, I thought, and then all of these things, this cracks me up. Again, the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex, right? The Colorado politics headline is GOP questionnaires angers county leaders and Republicans. It's like, no, it doesn't. I mean, they're like 3 who are angry about it. The vast dozens are happy about it. They just twist it. Colorado politics, the Colorado Sun, complete Colorado.
Well, Colorado Sun is not part of the Anschutz Media Empire, but the left wing.
And
they're combining here as
right,
always.
And I'm saying outrage over this questionnaire. Right. There is no, well, there's some outrage, and that's when the people who are too scared to fill it out, because it would reveal what their policies really are. These are questions that if you're a Republican.
And it's great because it really does expose Gabe Evans. And I heard Gabe Evans give his remarks in front of CD8. And I never heard a more MAGA, strong conservative speech in my life. He meant none of it. I mean, if you're part of Americans for Prosperity, you're for keeping the border open. Although they say, we want to regulate it. We don't let them all in, so it's legal. And so another 10 million in. And he did, you know. And so that's why people go, well, how can people like Mike Johnson just, you know, say they're for the border and everything else and just do what the Democrats say? Because that's who they are. And that's who Gabe Evans is. That's who Hurd is. That's who
Jeff Crank is.
And people have no way of knowing that. I promise you, most of the people at CD8 would have thought that good old Gabe Evans was about as conservative as you could. He's just a lying sack of whatever.
Okay, Barney joined us. Hey, Barney, did I miss Nasty Dumbass George? Where's George? You missed him.
He
was on at 3. You can catch, this is a good time for me to point out to people that you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com, or we're also up on Rumble. Actually, if you go to Rumble, we get monetized, so that's helpful.
Yep.
We're on BBS, so you can catch us all over. But you'll have to go back and listen. It was kind of a funny segment.
Back to this question here,
I think because so much, and the mailers, like for instance, Gabe Evans is putting out, anti-illegal immigration mailers. On the other hand, though, he's backed by an organization
that makes you promise to support their
open borders.
They don't call it open borders. They call it, fully regulated.
I don't watch CEO pointed out today, though. They're Washington going back 3 years.
Charles Koch saying I'm for open borders.
I mean, we need more open borders. It's like it doesn't get much more,
So without a questionnaire, all these phony, fake Republicans, all of which will vote for 702 spying on you, it will vote for the Democratic budget and everything else, like Doug Lamborn.
Right. Well, it is exactly as the Vice Chair Hope Shuffleman said. If you're a grassroots conservative, you would have no problem putting this
out. Yeah, but they're not.
No. Well, but here's the thing. Most people are. So when these again, the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex writes these stories to make it seem as if all of these Republicans, are opposed to it and they're angry about it and there's all this turmoil. No. Most of the Republicans, I would say, are waiting to see what the answers to the question are.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, did you vote for Biden in 2020?
If you're a rhino, you still probably want to know what the answer. You're like, okay, good. Gabe Evans votes.
He's a rhino.
He's a rhino. I like him. I like rhinos.
I like rhinos. I'm a rhino, and I like Democrats, and I like open borders.
So it's just, again, more attempts to attack the grassroots, and they're not going to give up. And let me just, a programming note here. So Representative Bradley, Thomas Trider got no response and left a message. So she had said, the Democrats, I think there's 6 days left in the legislature. She said, you won't believe. Yeah, they're trying to.
We'll get her another time.
Which is, well, if she can come on, she said she would. But yeah, we'll get her back. She said one of their tactics in these final days is they wait basically till the end. So there's not enough time. And then they limit the amount of debate that
they get rid.
Or they just get rid. Yeah, they just pass it. And they don't want to give anybody time to, get their constituents out there to testify against it. You were down there, right? That's not new, right? That's been going on.
No, that's pretty new.
Is it new?
No, it used to be a lot more collegial process.
It's not anymore. So anyway,
it used to be more Republicans, and so Republicans could, you had to kind of give them some deference.
Right. Well, but anyway, so as you read this stuff and keep in mind the questionnaire, I think when I was reading it, I'd be like, well, I'd like to know the answer to that. It would help you make your decision, right? Now, they can lie. Of course, they can do that. But I think
they're good at that.
Yeah. But I think anyone who is refusing to put out this questionnaire, there's a reason why. There's nothing like, did you ever kill your dog or something like that, right? It's like nothing tricky or that.
Not going to answer that.
From Sandra, I think many times all of them are there to midnight. Oh, Jackass Emirates. That's right. They keep them there very late for the debates. Do you want to talk then a little bit about, we could talk about the Mandy Connell show.
Sure.
Do that. So Mandy Connell had sent an email to Rhino Watch saying that she wanted somebody to come on and talk about Rhino Watch on her show.
And to her credit, she said, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, so. She's not a fan. And to her credit, she asked, right? There have been a ton of attacks on Rhino Watch, but nobody's actually asked Rhino Watch to come on. So the Rhino Watch folks talked about it, and we contribute. Our show gets posted on there sometimes. Mark Hampton from Parker Conservatives contributed. So we said, sure, we'll go on and talk to her. And I think it went well. I think we got our point across. And what happened is, and Mandy, I want to say this, I think Mandy's a nice person. And I say she handled it professionally. And she was very professional. She was nice. She clearly wanted to get us out of there, though. And I do find it interesting that she said, we had a lot of emails, but you didn't read any of them. So normally.
Well, here's when you're beating up on somebody you don't like, you want to keep on going. I mean, nothing's more fun.
Yeah, she hustled us out of there fast. I was kind of surprised.
If you're kind of losing the debate and feel uncomfortable, and they're scoring you know, jabs and hooks on you, then you kind of get out of here.
Time for you guys to go.
So she got a lot of jabs and hooks landed against her. And so she kind of, out of here.
For instance, Mark Camden pointed out, talking about rhinos, like number one, Deborah Flora can't fill out the questionnaire because she didn't go through the caucus process. By the way, she picked up an endorsement from who else? Philly Anschutz, and the Denver Gazette.
And part of our job is to make it so that having Anschutz endorse you, you know that the person's a rhino.
That's right. Well, otherwise, you wouldn't be endorsing him, right? I mean, and this is, why would you not?
We're thinking about, you know, doing Sonnenberg, but, you know, she's
Lauren Boebert, right?
They hate her.
Why do they hate her? It's like, well, because she votes America first, right? Right. So that's the thing. But we were talking about that, and Mark Camden pointed out, because Mandy Connell says she's friends with, or likes, supports Deborah Flora. And then Mark Camden pointed out, well, he kind of did too, until she revealed herself as a liar. What Deborah Flora did was many Republican groups, including Adams County, I think, say, if you want to come speak to the group.
No, but particularly, no, I don't think Adams County did.
But particularly the Parker Conservative.
Yeah.
Right. They made it clear, a condition of her speaking to the group, and they've got probably the largest conservative group in the state, right, is that you have to say you will go through the assembly process. They say, if you're going to petition your way on, then buy your ads, right? You can't come talk to us, because we respect the caucus assembly process. Right. That's what we're all about. And she said, oh, sure, as a longtime grassroots, I totally plan to go the assembly caucus process. So Mark took her at her word, and she got to come speak. And then, lo and behold, she didn't go through the assembly caucus process because she knew she wasn't going to win. I think, understandably, he was like, She clearly
lied to us. And if you go on her website, she has 10 plans.
Right.
Which means she doesn't plan to do any of them.
Right. Maybe she plans to, maybe she doesn't. Right. So that was one thing we pointed out. And another thing, and I thought this was kind of funny, because this is such a typical rhino thing. They always pull out Mandy said, Rhino Watch is, you know, it's juvenile. It's like middle school, and it's attacking Republicans. And you should be spending time and energy
attacking Democrats.
And I said, well, what about Kelly Maher and other Republicans filing an FEC complaint against Dave Williams? He's like, oh, it's different.
That's totally different. And then, that's okay, because we don't like Dave Williams.
It's like, well, you know, why is Kelly Maher spending her time and energy and their money?
You pointed out Kelly Maher is a spokesman for Colorado Pioneer Action, which is Bob Oprey's dirty group that would send out anonymous things against incumbents saying they were for this and that. None of it was true. They got fined.
Slapped with one of the biggest FEC violations ever in Colorado. And she's like, well, does that have to do with anything? And I'm like,
what?
Well, maybe you guys, and I point out, I said, no one asked her. And then she said, Dave can't raise any money. So I went through the whole Christy Burton Brown financial scandal, right? Which she knew nothing about. I'm like, you know, and so for those of you who aren't up to speed on that, because I think the Republican Party is still actively pursuing criminal charges.
Or at least civil.
Christy Burton Brown told everybody a couple of days before she left office.
Oh, at the assembly.
Yeah, that there was $100,000 left in the GOP bank account. Except when Dave and those guys took over, there wasn't.
There was no money, and there were all these debts. They hadn't paid the rent for months.
But what they did do is give them all tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses before they left.
And credit cards.
They took the credit cards. Somebody took the credit cards charge.
And of course, Mandy heard none of that.
No. And she's like, well, I don't know about any of that. I'm like, exactly. That's my point. And then she said, well, you know, Dave is taking a salary and he's a grifter. And I said, well, Christy took a salary too. And her response,
a bigger salary.
Her response was, that's different.
That's different.
It's like,
oh.
And I'm kind of like, you know, what the heck is from Sandra? Oh, Wahoo Julie, I just might need to listen to that podcast, even though I despise Mandy Connell. Well, she was kind of nice. She got kind of fiery. But here's another thing, and I hope this is not very polite of me to say, but it's true. It's something I've noticed about all the media, that they are so, she was not prepared to do an interview with people who knew what they were talking about. right?
And we're going to bite back.
And we're going to, yes, exactly. Who we're going to push back. Who we're going to say, actually, well, Chrissy Burton Brown took a salary. So what's the difference between, why is Dave a grifter for taking a salary?
He didn't take any salary for 6 months.
Right. Why is he a grifter, but Chrissy Burton Brown, it's totally fine. You know, and they can't, and that's what they say. That's different. But she, because there is such an echo chamber anymore in the media, and whether it's a talk show host or...
Well, you know, okay, so what comes on before Mandy? Rasputin? I mean, the same thing. He claims he's a libertarian, like Americans for Prosperity, and he hates the grassroots and hates Dave Williams. And they are just this one day.
And then, so she wanted to try to say, give us a definition of a Republican. What's your idea? And I said, you know, I'm not going to get into what word salad we want to use. It's like people always say, and so we can talk about this a little bit. How do you tell if someone's a rhino? And you tell by their actions, not their words. Right. Well, sometimes the words, but by their actions. Oh, so
it's your actions.
If somebody says, I'm a Republican, Krista Kafer and Norma Anderson, but I'm going to file a lawsuit, being funded by George Soros to try to keep the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, off the ballot in Colorado, that's a rhino thing to do. Okay. If you say you're a Republican, but you are funded by Americans for Prosperity who want open borders, well, that's a rhino thing to do, right?
You go to Congress and you vote for reauthorization of Section 702 of the Patriot Act, you're a rhino. If you vote for the Democrats' budget that gives them all of their awful things, you're a rhino.
You're a rhino. If you vote to send money to secure the Ukraine border, but not the American border, you're a rhino. And then pretty soon, if you've done enough rhino things, you're a rhino.
Right.
Right. So it's like, and they want to, again, the establishment, they want to, like, I don't know what, trap you with this, with word salads. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not that. Oh, and Jacob's raised his hand. Hey, Jacob, are you there? And I always catch
you. Yeah, I'm here. This time I'm here.
Okay. What's up?
Okay. Ignore that phone. I was in Virginia last week. That's why I wasn't on that much. I just wanted to ask you something. That court in Arizona came down and said that the law in 1862 still prevails today.
64.
And then I guess the legislature in Arizona repealed that law.
Yes.
Now, when the courts first said that they have to go back to that 1862 law, everybody said it was the end of the Republicans. Well, now that it's repealed, is it still the end of the Republicans in Arizona?
Why not?
No, I don't know. I'm not. What do you, I mean, I got to admit, I'm not.
I am up to it.
Okay.
It's the 1864 Act. They abolished almost all abortions.
Oh.
The Democrats and Republicans voted to overturn that. So they didn't, you know, they didn't want that draconian one. And the governor signed it. So they said, oh, it's over for Republicans. Well, it's always over for Republicans, according to the
mainstream media. Good point.
I'm just saying that, you know, face facts. We don't have the law anymore. And the Republicans are kind of even-handed with abortion. So what's the argument now?
They took care of business. Democrats, this is my thinking on some of that. I think that Democrats in particular, but I'm going to go ahead and say, I think people on both sides make a ton of money over the abortion debate. Right. And I don't think any of them want to solve it, because if it ever got resolved, then they wouldn't be able to make money. So I think it is someplace you have to tread carefully. I know both sides like it because they think, well, number one, it gives money, and they think that it helps them in elections.
And I think, you know, I've always thought that Roe v. Wade was a terrible decision, that you had some penumbra right to an abortion. And it should have been left to the states. Well, that's Trump's position. I think it's the right one. Some states will outlaw abortion. That's fine. Other states, you'll get to kill the kitty after he comes out of the womb, which I'm not for. But at least it's left up to the states. But they hate that. They want some national bill one way or the other.
That's so they can raise national money.
Yeah, that's
what I think anyway. So what do you think? What do you think, Jacob?
I think it's great. You know, they had a problem and the legislature took care of it, and now it's back to normal. You know, move on to the next issue.
Right. And I would have to say, I know they with everything else that's going on, I think some of those social issues for some people on both sides, it's always going to be like the defining issue. I think for a lot of people, though, there is, you know, the economy, immigration, safety, you know, the interest rates, for God's sakes. There are a lot of other issues that they care about.
I think it was when it said you had a national right to abortion. I think they were absolutely right. And now sometimes you have, on the other side, we want to outlaw federally all abortion. You kind of go, leave it to the states, and we'll have different standards in different states. But yeah. I think Trump's view on it, I think, was absolutely the right one.
He's right. Well, I just want to say one other thing. I think the biggest news of the week was the consumer confidence meter.
Oh, I didn't see that. What did it do?
No, it dropped. So it's the lowest since 2022, the beginning of 2022. But 45% of those responded that they think they're going to lose their job this year.
Wow.
Well, and that's why the market tanked that day, yeah.
Fortunately, Joe Biden is bringing in, what did you say, 300,000
Palestinians.
Yeah, Palestinians who can take No, that is a good – well, and that's – if you're the Biden administration, that's really worrisome because all of us stupid people, according to, you know, MSNBC, are not – for somehow we're all misunderstanding the economy. It's actually great.
Well, Paul Krugman, who's the Nobel winner of the economic – prize from I think Norway and not Denmark, but he said everybody's better off today under the Biden economy. You're going, God, you're such a fool bag.
I know.
And he's a guy who's always wrong. The inflation is under
Jacob, another thing I did see today, I think they only added like 175,000 jobs. The jobs report was bad. And then you saw, I mean, Southwest Airlines getting rid of 2,000 people, cutting flights to, all of that is, and you know what's interesting about that? So much of that, I think, as Donald Trump showed, can be turned around pretty quickly. And I think people saw that before. So, hey, listen, thank you as always for calling. You always have such a great
weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. I think that as much as the Biden tries to get the, you know, media to talk about how wonderful the economy is, again, that's a kind of thing like COVID, right?
Well, I think, you know, the Afghan withdrawal was perfect. It was done good.
You're watching people dropping off the plane, you know, you're seeing they're shooting. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't think that went according to plan. So
probably did go.
And then you saw, I mean, even CNN, that they show Trump is, you know, doing well in the polls. And what was I reading? It was the other thing that was interesting is how much the American public does not trust the sort of the mainstream American media.
No.
When it comes to, I know, that's a shock. And we've talked about that before. I think that their hold over the narrative is completely collapsing. And, you know, going back to the Mandy Connell show, it's like you just talk in an echo chamber. When you're a grassroots person, you're forced to listen to all of this nonsense from the establishment and the rhinos, right? But when you're one of them, all you talk about with, you know, with your Chardonnay.
How terrible the grassroots are.
Right. Dave Williams is a grifter. And so you kind of think that that's what's going on. So I think, again, as always, it's how they, you got to wonder what the Democrats are doing. You know, it's not who votes, but it's who counts the votes. That's my only concern there, because I think people are aware, you know, I mean, in general, you know, and I think, as we talked before, in Denver, you know, that they've set up all that with the same tents that they have nationally, the whatever that anti-Israel thing at the Auraria campus, right? And I guess they're at CU now and they're all over the place. And in Denver, the Auraria apparently keeps calling the city of Denver saying, can you come remove these things? And they're like, oh, that's not a police issue.
Yeah,
it's like, what do you mean it's not a police issue? It's like, whose issue is it then? They're trespassing. That's like if you had a burglar in your house, you're going, there's burglars in my house. That's not really a police issue. It's like, then whose issue is it? But Mayor Johnson is caught between a rock and a hard place, right? People don't like it, but he's God knows what he is. He's anti-America himself. So from Sandra, they're at Colorado College also. From Sandra, she's calling it a wrap. Thank you for another great show. Party Friday. Let's get started. Have a great weekend.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a couple days on Party Friday.
And Party Friday. No, we'll see you on Monday.
Party Thursday, Party Tuesday, Party Monday.
Gotu is going to be coming on.
He's been great.
Who can talk about Stephen Varela.
And who else?
Daniel Greenfield. We've got
Who's who is it's Varela, and also the National Committee woman. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, that should be pretty interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Oh, talking about Varela and Christy Fedora. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. It is Happy Party Friday.
Don't kill your dog.
No.